at the essence of Judaism is how to create a fair and just society. And the environment and protecting it is exactly that. It's how to create a fair, just society for everyone. So one where we can literally survive, but also live and thrive and live in a morally just way.
Hi, I'm Jenny, and welcome to Jewish in the City. I started this podcast to shine a light on Jews who have made a positive impact in society with the aim to inspire and empower the British Jewry so that we may live proudly, confidently, and authentically as Jews in the City. In this episode, I am joined by Talia Chain and Naomi Verber, who have dedicated their lives to the cause of climate justice to spread awareness and education and push for action within the Jewish communities. Talia packed up her city life and went to live on a farm, where she since built the UK's first Jewish community farm and environmental centre. Naomi left her high-flying corporate consultancy career of 15 years to follow her passion and has since opened up the UK's first kosher, eco-friendly guest house. Naomi and Talia talk to us about the challenges of getting their new ventures off the ground, transferring skill sets, the benefits of immersive Jewish farming, and their passionate belief that taking active steps to better look after the environment is an integral part of Judaism and Jewish responsibility. Naomi and Talia, thank you both so much for joining us today. Naomi, if we could just begin with a brief introduction into your background.
Sure. Thank you, Jenny, for having us today. My name's Naomi Verber. I have been a management consultant for 15 years, worked for a technology consulting firm called Accenture. I studied history of art prior to that, so I've had quite a few different lives. And I recently joined the Sadeh charity, Sadeh Farm, working as the hospitality director. My life as a management consultant obviously involved a very different lifestyle, a lot of travel. I worked within the government, public sector section of Accenture, working towards large-scale technology implementation projects. So on one hand, very, very different. But on the other hand, a lot of those skills I've been managed to transfer over into a new lifestyle for myself working with Sadeh.
Coming from the background of Accenture, what inspired you to become an environmentalist?
This has been a journey that started a number of years ago. It's not something that happened overnight. Probably about 5 years ago, in line with when I had my first child. I think as is often the case with many people, you start to think about not just the immediate, but their future and what sort of world your child is going to grow up into, what sort of values you want to bring into their life. And the state of the planet is obviously a key thing to think about for our children. So that's when it started to become at the forefront of my mind. It started to educate myself. You know, it also coincided with a lot of media attention and publications around this subject, films, books, etc. So I became more immersed within that sort of movement and thought process. But it's also the people I met, and Talia was one of the people that really had quite a direct influence on my life. And then when, as I said, as my children grew, and then I've now got two of them, it became more and more urgent for me to spend the time that I have working within this sector. I left my job at Accenture last summer and looked specifically to work within the environmental movement because basically I felt it was the best use of my time.
Talia, tell us about your background.
Yeah, I used to work in fashion. I started working really in secondhand pre-loved designer clothes to raise money for survivors of human trafficking, which is really how I got interested in supply chains and where our clothes come from and how they're made. And I ended up going to work in fashion technology, but the thought about where things come from stuck with me and got me interested in where my food comes from. And I ended up bored at work one day, deciding to go to a Jewish farm in America, an amazing environmental charity there called Hazon. And Hazon runs a program called Adama, which is a 3-month Jewish farming program, which I went to in 2014. And I definitely didn't come from a background of being outdoorsy. I was not interested in being outdoorsy at all. I didn't know any kinds of trees or plants or whatever. I never helped in the garden. I just never went outside, really. I was an indoors human. And I actually cried for like my first 2 weeks of Adama because I was like, this is horrendous. I have to be outside in the rain. What am I going to do? But then I can't explain it other than to say it was just transformational. After a couple of weeks, something clicked and I just was like, wow, I love working outside with my body. I love the physicality of food growing and working on the land. I was absolutely inspired and amazed by the other farmers who were working there, who were kind of maybe what we would see as hippies, but like hippies who did amazingly hard, real work. They grew food, they saw the links between food justice and social justice and climate justice. I learned all about the issues of climate change, which I hadn't really engaged with much before 2014. It wasn't hugely in the public discourse like it is now. And how that all connected to my Judaism, you know, what it meant to be somebody of a religion that is so based in agriculture and farming. And yet we don't talk about that at least in the Jewish traditions that I was brought up in. It just wasn't part of it. And I was like, I'm an earth-based Jew and I want to live outside and I love it and I want to live in community and I want to grow food. So when I came home to the UK, I just thought, I need to find somewhere to live. I need to be able to engage in this lifestyle, and other people should have access to learning about, you know, earth-based Judaism, about climate justice, how that relates to religion, all those kinds of things. So that's how Sadeh ended up being founded, really.
So tell us more about Sadeh and the work that you do there.
Yes, so we do a variety of programs. We try and approach things from all angles, which is why working with Naomi and having the farmhouse is so awesome. But in terms of the other things we do, you know, we manage 7 acres of land. So we grow food in the sense that, you know, we sow carrots and water them and then they grow and we eat them. But we also manage the land thinking about regenerative agriculture. How can we best look after land so that it will adapt to climate change, the different weather patterns that we're seeing now? How is it good for biodiversity? How is it good for wildlife? How is it good for soil health? How are we able to plant more and more trees? You know, Alex, our land manager, who lives at Sadeh with me, has planted 900 trees over the last 3 years at Sadeh. So regenerative agriculture is a big part of what we do. And then we run educational programs. We have school groups and community groups and shul groups, gardening clubs coming down, and they pay a small fee, which helps us. And we take them around and we discuss what we do and we learn from them and educate them both. And we also run a 3-month fellowship, which is an immersive Jewish farming experience for Jewish adults. They live together communally at Sadeh for a 3-month period, and they get to learn how to grow food, and we discuss why looking after the planet is our Jewish responsibility and many other things. And we also have an educational pack that we send to schools about, you know, getting outdoors and why that's good for your mental and physical health and how that's Jewish. So we do lots of different things in education and food growing and land management. And the last part of that is community. We live in community here at Sadeh. You know, we have actually a food rota, a cooking, cleaning rota. You know, we live very communally. And that's a big part of being part of Sadeh. Even if you don't necessarily live here, when you're in the Sadeh family, when you're somebody who comes to Sadeh a lot, if you work at Sadeh, if you just feel part of Sadeh, you become part of this Jewish farming community.
Isn't it similar to how a kibbutz in Israel used to be run?
People often ask me that question. I think there's been many amazing examples of land-based communities. Kibbutzim are ones, you know, maybe that we identify more with, but it's not necessarily more or less like a kibbutz than any other land-based movement other than it's Jewish. So yeah, we live communally, we live on the land, but we are in the UK and thinking a lot about being part of the UK narrative and the UK landscape. We are British Jews and, you know, we make up the community of Britain. So I think about it very much as like a land-based Jewish movement living here in the UK.
Naomi, you've recently opened a kosher eco-friendly guest house on the grounds of Sadeh called Sadeh Farmhouse. You must have found it a huge challenge not having been in the hospitality business before. Would you walk us through the process and indeed any challenges in getting it off the ground?
Sure, yeah, Jenny, you're not wrong. It was a big challenge, and definitely quite a big departure from my previous career. I guess that one of the biggest challenges is that it's a 17th century house, so this is a heritage site we're talking about, so it's not a straightforward building to work within. So that was one of the biggest challenges as well. How do you respect the property, its heritage, and try and bring back that grandeur back to life whilst also making it suitable for, modern day visitors? Of course, one of the biggest budgets challenges as well will be the budget. So we had a shoestring budget to work on, being a charity. Sadeh invested itself in the renovation. So working with very small budget, but trying to make that go as far as possible. And then finally, the timescale, which was, it sounds crazy to say it now, but we didn't have approval to go ahead with the project until the end of March, and we opened on the 30th of May, as in we hadn't picked up a paintbrush, removed a bathroom, anything, and we did it in about 7 weeks. So it was probably one of the craziest races that we've been on in our lives. I think I can speak for Tully and the rest of the team saying that. But all I can say is that God must love the environment and what we're doing, because we managed to somehow, by hook or by crook, and we pulled a lot of rabbits out of hats and had a lot of lives thrown our way. But those were the challenges, to be honest, the time, the money, and just also the fact that we were all like kind of doing something new. None of us have worked within hospitality before. However, what we did have on our side counterbalanced that. First thing being that Sadeh is an organization, and this is very much the way Talia leads there, is that they are very innovative and not risk averse. So whereas this would have probably freaked out any other organization on the planet, Sadeh were completely up for it, and as was I. So we had that kind of mentality that once we knew that the idea would work, we were able to kind of not be unrealistic about the risk, but not let them overwhelm us. Whilst everyone saw what a big challenge it was, at no point did anybody say this can't be done, even though it seemed very, very difficult. They never said it can't be done, you're crazy. So that was probably the number one thing. They just put the confidence in me and Talia to just go for it. And where some of our skills kind of came into the fore, I do have a background in art. I studied history of art, and I'm an amateur painter with a real interest in design. So I was able to kind of bring out my frustrated interior designer in me and be able to utilize those skills. And I think that kind of saved us a lot of time. The concept of Sadeh came to me, the farmhouse element of Sadeh, having actually stayed there for a week. And in that week, I spent a lot of time thinking about the interior and the renovation aspects. So we were a little bit of ahead of ourselves in that regard. Also got help from a lot of people, experts we knew, who were just full of goodwill and generosity, which we could call up and say, what would you do with a room like this? What colours would you use? How can we do this cheaply? Could you donate furniture? Could you do, this sort of stuff? We just managed to pull all the strings that we had available to us, and people reacted and helped. What I learned over the past sort of few months is that all those years of working on large scale complicated projects, it kind of doesn't matter where the management is as long as you have those skills. So I was able to transfer the management aspect over to Sadeh, that it kind of didn't matter whether it was renovating bathrooms or, a major transformation project, it's kind of the same where whichever scenario you're in. And I think that gave us a kind of base confidence to get the job done and do it professionally. So there's a lot of goodwill from people, a lot of our own skill sets, a lot of relative calm that helps us get through it. And I'm not joking, Jenny, when I say we did it by the skin of our teeth, in that, when people were checking in on the first day of opening, we had to like divert them round the farm while someone was still hanging the curtains in their room. That's how close we were. But when they got into their room, it was done. It wasn't easy, but we did it.
Think that's so inspiring how you used your skill set from your previous line of work alongside your love and knowledge of art and design and transferred them to an industry where your true passion so obviously lies.
Thank you. That's a really nice way of putting it. I think that's very true. And many people who have moved on to second careers often say the same thing, which is, if you're going to make that big transition, they often create the job that they want. as opposed to just apply for another job. And I think that's kind of what happened here. And this is very much Talia and Sadeb giving me the space to do that, but create the career I want based on the things that I love and I'm interested in. And that's what's worked out really well for me and hopefully for a long-term partnership with Sadeb.
What made you want to target the Jewish community?
Well, I guess it's where we have an opportunity. We have an audience. It's our extended family. It's for me the context that I live in. So for me, the Jewish community is like an extension of myself. Our responsibility is exactly the same towards the environment, but particularly within the Orthodox community, I found that this is not high up enough on the priority list. Particularly within the shul context, it's somewhere where you can have great influence and be a catalyst for change. At the essence of Judaism is how to create a fair and just society, and the environment and protecting it is exactly that. It's how to create a fair and just society for everyone. So one where we can literally survive, but also live and thrive and live in a morally just way. So it always seemed very odd to me that this concept was not being absorbed into our shuls and into our learning. And so for me, I thought this is a very good target. It's a very good way to reach many people rather than just talk to my friends about this sort of thing or my family, is to use the shul as a platform. And then this then grew. Sadeh is already a Jewish environmental charity. But one of the key reasons we wanted to create the farmhouse and open it as sort of family-friendly accommodation was to give the community access to somewhere that can provide this education. We have a lot to say on this subject as Jews. It's our responsibility to be shouting and about this and talking about it and pushing our politicians and our leaders to talk about it. And this is what Jews do best. And I would just like to add as well that a very important partner in this whole thing is the Jewish Youth Fund. So they own the site. They own the original Skeet Hill House, which is now managed by Sadeh. So they provided this asset, and then literally the land and the house, that's been in the Jewish community since the 1940s, and have allowed us to use this asset to bring Jewish people back to enjoy the various aspects that Sadeh offer, whether that's education or respite. And it's always had that purpose of being a community asset and platform for connecting Jewish people with nature. The very beginning, it was provided to the community for Jews from the East End, young Jews to go and escape the smog of London, you know, that sort of choking pollution, to escape from there and have experience out in the countryside. And now, you know, sort of like 70 years later, we're again using this community asset, the house, to again give Jews from London a chance to get out of the choking pollution and then actually connect again with nature and the values that will help us tackle climate change. So it's got a very interesting history, and I just wanted to pick up on that sort of community asset point.
Sure. And what can people expect when they come to Sadeh Farmhouse?
So they expect a very warm welcome. The experience is kind of a very homely, cozy, informal experience. They'll arrive at a house which just looks like a very large farmhouse rather than a hotel. They'll feel like they're stepping into our Sadeh home. The house aside, which I feel very strongly about, of course, which is beautifully done, is the land itself. So the land is like the star. They will just be mesmerized. There's a point where you walk from the back of our farmhouse as you walk to the top to look down over the fields that are there. And it never fails to kind of move me and just like take my breath away when I just pass that corner. You know what I'm talking about, Talia, past the tree? And you just look down and it's just alive with the vegetation, the plants, the fruits that are growing, the flowers, the bees. It's just stunningly beautiful. It's a place full of vibrancy and life. And they'll come away feeling educated about something new and different. If they're already on this journey, hopefully we can give them some more inspiration, or if it's new for them, to really light a spark where they can come home and you know, replicate some of whether it's the food or the attitude that they learned at Sadeh into their life, into their community. We hope as many of your listeners partake in it.
Sounds amazing. One thing we need to know, obviously, being Jewish, what food can we expect when we come to Sadeh Farmhouse?
Great question. So, and you will not be surprised to hear that's one of the main questions our guests want to know about. So food is a huge part of what we do there. Not just because, of course, everybody needs to eat, but food is a key to our environmental values, and indeed our approach to food dictates climate change and where it's going. So the food you will guess we'll be eating is delicious, nutritious, sustainable food. That's kind of the principles we work on. But with that in mind, for us, it's extremely important that the food is as sustainable as possible. So that means no meat, as little dairy as possible. For us, that was a clear principle to set out from the beginning. I think the most kind of delightful thing of all for our guests is that a lot of our vegetables and fruit comes from the farm. So they've literally seen where it's grown. It makes, a sort of 30-second walk is its carbon footprint from the field to our kitchen, as opposed to being flown in on a plane, and then chopped up and put in their salad. And, you know, all they're picking the edible flowers that go onto their salads and the herbs. It's a very kind of magical experience to eat food that you have seen grown yourself or picked yourself. And that's part of the food expectation that our guests can have.
Would you say there has been some improvement made becoming more environmentally friendly within the Jewish community?
I can take that from a sort of short perspective, just from what I've seen, and Talia, I'm sure, want to comment. I have seen positive movement, yes, over the past, even just past 3 years. It's really become mainstream now within shuls. Not all shuls are doing it, but they're certainly starting to talk about it. Eco Synagogue, which was very much in this Mizorti reform progressive world, it now incorporates many, many United Synagogue shuls and other Orthodox shuls. So I do think within our community and just more broadly in the world, there's more awareness. And whilst the Jewish community have been slow, they're now moved from kind of passive to concerned. And the next big step is to move to being actually active. I think we're kind of at that point where people want to do, you know, you don't have to be class yourself as an eco-warrior now to want to make significant changes in your home lifestyle, whether that's reducing your air travel, not eating meat, not using disposables, buying plastic. That's become pretty mainstream. But it's sort of now moving to actually not doing that. And what does that mean? How do you restructure your life to incorporate those things that you kind of know are right? And I see exactly the same thing in shul. People want to do it. The resistance isn't there like it was 5 years ago when we first started talking about this. It's almost become socially unacceptable now to scoff at environmental policies in a shul or school. Now it just actually has to be done. I think that's a challenge. And you know, the chief rabbi was with us last week at Sadeh. He came to do our sort of like grand opening as our guest of honor. And he said the same thing. He's like, we've talked for long enough time now. Now it's time to actually do things.
When I came back from Adama in 2014 and I said to everyone, I'm going to quit my job and start a Jewish farm because we need to tackle climate change, people were like, you are crackers. And there was just so much resistance to talking about anything to do with any of it. And now, yeah, people are definitely on board. I do think, you know, I like to think that it's been two things. The community, the UK community, the global community as a whole have taken on climate change issues a lot more seriously. There's many reasons for that. And hopefully because Sadeh's been going for a few years, you know, we have been pushing this discourse in the Jewish community since before we started. So yeah, hopefully it's had a change. I think we need to move faster. Like, people are still talking about so many things and I haven't seen that much action. I've seen a lot of talks, but I'm hoping that we are moving towards more actions. Yeah, I'm hopeful. I mean, I'm optimistic. I think you have to be an optimist to be an environmental activist, definitely.
What would be the one takeaway that you can give our listeners in becoming more environmentally friendly that would have a substantial and positive impact?
I'd like to say three things, which is, yeah, less animal agriculture, less animal products in general, less flying, and engaging with your MP, engaging with your synagogue, engaging with your like local political figures.
Thank you, Talia. And Nemi?
So I absolutely agree with Talia's three sort of practical things. So lobby your who you vote for, how you use your political power. That's really important. This is the issue of our time. So they've got to have an opinion on that and pick the leaders who can actually work on this issue. Reducing meat and try to have no meat and no flying, I completely agree with. And those are always the key takeaways. But I would say one other thing, which is just educate yourself. right now, our school system, our Jewish education system, our governmental system is, they're not doing that for us. They're not really making this information at the forefront of our minds. They're not putting it out there, but society is as a whole. So, you know, there's so many books, films, articles, educate yourself about this issue, because your children will ask, how could you say you didn't know? How could you have been blind to this? And there won't be excuse. There won't be an answer to that. There is no excuse. The information is out there. So if you're not getting it from, you know, your sort of mainstream sources, then go and learn it yourself, because everything you need to know is there, and that will help you act and you know, take on the changes that need to be made.
Thank you so much, Naomi and Talia, for joining us today. If you can just tell our listeners how they can get in touch with you for more information, please.
Sure. So if you are interested in coming to stay at the Sadeh Farmhouse, please go to our website, which is sadehfarm.co.uk, or contact me directly, which is Naomi at sadehfarm.co.uk. And I take booking inquiries if you are interested in staying, particularly for group stays, etc. So, and that's how to get in touch to book. And if you are a school or education establishment or shul looking to stay, please contact Talia at talia.chain@sadehfarm.co.uk.
Perfect. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Jenny. Thanks for inviting us.
Thank you for joining us.
Thank you for listening to this week's episode, Breaking Eco Barriers. Naomi has since taken on the role as head of environmental policy at the United Synagogue, showing their focus on improving the movement's ecological impact. Naomi and Talia show us how, with enough passion and determination, we can break down our barriers so that we may live our own authentic lives. For more information on Jewish in the City and for upcoming episodes, please follow us on Instagram at @JewishInTheCityUK. I would love to hear from you and any comments and feedback that you may have. Wishing you a happy and inspired week.